The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
So should America build a wall? Absolutely. Spoiler alert, that's one of the solutions. But we'll get to that later on in the show. But one of the things that frustrates me with the narratives and the politics and the media right now, and let me just focus in on my friends in the Republican Party and the Republican, you know, the right quote-unquote media, is there seems to be this always narrative or undertone in their presentation that, you know, the wall is so critical. The wall, should the wall be built? Absolutely. I am by no stretch of the imagination saying it shouldn't be built. But there's always this tone that if America just built this wall on the southern border, like illegal immigration would just stop. It would just be over. The issue is dead. Just build that wall and we're done. I'm sorry to tell you, but that is nothing more than a lie. And actually, let me quote your president, that is fake news. If you've ever heard that, it's fake news. Because let me give you the stats. If you built a wall, and let's say the wall was 100% foolproof, that would solve roughly 40% of illegal immigration. 40. So it's not even a majority of illegal immigration that would solve. 60% of your immigration problem comes from people who overstayed their visa. So people who have done things the right way once and have entered your country and have just not left. You see this all the time. You see this with different visas. So people go over on a student visa. They go, you know what, America's a great country. I want to go get my education there. I want my degree from, you know, from Harvard or from Yale or from whatever college they go to, New York University or wherever they go. And they go over and they get 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever year visa it is, depending on what you're going to go study. And you just never leave. You also have other people who, there's a visa called a J1 visa, which is very popular in different aspects. And I can see why. Actually, if you want to be, I see the irony in it. Some of my Irish family don't really see America the way I do. They don't love America. They've worked in America. I haven't. It's very, very interesting. They've had the J1 visa because they went to college. And what you do is, you know, when you're going to college and you're going to a 3 or 4 year degree program, in the summer, you get a J1 visa and you go off to America and you work in a bar. Or I think one of my cousins worked in a bar and I think another one worked in amusement park, maybe Busch Gardens or something many years ago, or Disney. And you just go over for like June to September, let's say 2 or 3 months. And it's a very short period of time and it's a guest worker, a J1 visa, student visa, and you go over and you do it, but then you don't come back. You also have other people who applied for a similar visa that I applied for with the Blaze, a work visa. But when you go through the system, you know, just a bit of inside baseball, whether you, in case you don't know this, if I had been successful when I got the job with the Blaze and I had got a visa, you get a 1 year visa. And what you're supposed to do is, let's say I got that in, let's say I started the 1st of September last year. You go from 1st of September to the 1st of September. It's a 1 year visa. If the company then says, hey, we really like John, we want to offer him another contract, you're supposed to go back to your country of origin. So I'd have to come back to Ireland and reapply and then go to the embassy and go through the paperwork. Now, I think it's a lot easier and quicker if you're already in the system and you're just getting a second year visa, because you don't have to go through the health screening and you don't have to go through like the background checks of, you know, because you don't have to go through a lifetime of checks. You only have to go through the last 12 months. But you're supposed to reapply. But a lot of people go over there and they get a 1 year visa. And then they kind of go, oh God, you know, going back home, back to my country and reapplying for a visa and paying the fees and going through all the paperwork and the flights, I just can't be bothered. I'll just stay here illegal. So 60% of visa, of illegal immigration in America right now is through visa overstays. So they're actually in your system. You know about them, just they're still there. You think they've gone home. If again, I'm going to give you a solution to this at the end if you want to. I just want to deal with all the narratives. The part that's the most contentious when you talk about immigration reform, and the part that always gets the most tears and the most sympathy, is DACA. And of course, DACA is basically people who are there illegally have a kid, and what do you do with the kid? Let me be blunt about this. Why is this? One of the frustrating things for me as an outsider and someone who wants to get into your country is the fact that you treat illegal immigration totally different to the way you treat other crimes. And you treat it differently in so many ways. Let me explain some of the ways you treat it differently. DACA. So let me give you a scenario. Right. Let's just say, for argument's sake, for this scenario, I'm an American citizen. Born and bred, I live in America. And let's say I have a wife and I have a couple of kids. And let's say I'm a bit older than I am and my kid is, oh, I don't know, 15 or 16. And for whatever reason, forget about my background. My background's irrelevant, what I've done in the past. But I know my kid is going to college soon. And I go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out and I'm going to rob a bank. And I rob the bank and I'm successful and I get away. And let's say my cut of the robbery is $100,000. So my cut is $100,000. And again, I might have the purest intentions in the world. And what I do is I go to my 16-year-old kid and I go, or 17-year-old, I go, here you go, 100 grand, get your education. Again, the purest intentions in the world, get your education and be a better person. Eventually, I get caught and I get arrested. And then I get sentenced and I have to jail. I don't know what bank robbery is now. Probably, your justice system is so lax now. Probably a bank robbery, if no one got hurt, what, you might get 5 or 6 or 7 years. And if you're lucky, you might get out in 5. With good behavior, maybe 4. Obviously, it depends on what state you're in, but it's doesn't matter. In that scenario, do you think there's any person who would go, well, look, it was the father. It was John who did things wrong. Look, John committed the crime. He gave the money to his kid. Look, it wouldn't be fair to take the $100,000 back off the kid. The kid did nothing wrong. The kid is just a beneficiary of a bad action. You can't take that off of him. That's not fair. That's not right. Is there any part of the system that you think that would happen? Or do you think the feds would be like, look, or the local people would be like, look, I'm sorry to tell you, you got 100 grand from your father. He didn't earn it. He stole it from this bank. It's now time to take that money back and give it back to who it belongs to in the first place. That is the same situation as DACA. Does it suck? Absolutely. It must be horrible. Did the kid do anything wrong? No. But sometimes you reap the benefits of something you didn't have in your place in the first place. You reap the benefits of an illegal action. You reap the benefits of your parents coming to America illegally. And you've reaped the benefits for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, ever how long it is. You have reaped the benefits of something that wasn't yours in the first place. Now again, before you think that's a cruel stance and that's cruel, let me just wait till I get to the end and I give you the solutions. Because I do have a solution that is reaching across, that could keep all people happy. That would be quote unquote fair. But we'll come back to that and DACA in a few minutes. But one of the things I find incredibly frustrating with your justice system and illegal immigration is the way you treat illegal immigrants differently. Your justice system, if you look at what the narrative is in the media, is, well, you know what, if you're here 20 or 30 years, we're going to let you off. But if you're only here a couple of years, we're going to deport you. That's some of the narratives that you hear. You know, the more successful you have been at evading the feds, we're going to reward that behavior. It's the only crime that you could actually keep doing for the longest time that you actually, people would say, oh, well, look, the longer you've been doing the crime, you got to get away with it. Like, imagine you were, I don't know, just take a small example. I'm trying to think of an example. Imagine you were, I should have come up with an example. You know, imagine you were stealing from your boss. You know, just something simple. You know, imagine you were, I don't know, you had a fetish in work or something, you know, because I actually use this because someone I know does this, is they take your pens. Imagine you were stealing from your office. Every day you took home a pen. Every day you took home a pen. That's theft. And imagine the employer found out, wow, we're going through our stationery budget and we're looking at this and kind of going, we are ordering a freakish amount of pens. What's going on? And you order an investigation and you find that, well, there's Mary over there and she's been with us since day one. But it turns out Mary brings home a pen without fail every single day. And I'm not just talking about a pen that you buy, like, you know, a Bic. I'm talking like a branded pen that has your logo on it. It costs, I don't know what branded pen costs, like 50, 60 cents. And she's bringing home one every day without fail. Because her kids need, to, you know, pens to write to go to school and stuff. And she's giving them to her friends. And she's bringing home a pen every day. But she's been doing it since day one and the company's like 30 or 40 years old. And then you find out, well, you know, John's a new guy. He's just come from Ireland. You know, he hasn't got much. And, you know, he's been taking a pen. But he's only been taking a pen for like, you know, one pen a week for like 6 months. Because he's only working with us 6 months. Well, you know, we'll fire John. But, you know, Mary, look, Mary's been doing it all the time. Look, it's just part of her routine. Just let her off. In what world does that make sense to you? Like, imagine you had someone, let's make this, actually, I've just thought of another example. Make this on a bigger scale. Like, imagine Bernie Madoff, you know, Ponzi schemes. You know, imagine kind of going, look, you know, there's Bernie Madoff, he's been taking all this money for 40 years from people, and there's this person, you know, he's been taking it for like 6 months, a year, 2 years. Well, like, let's come down on a ton of bricks on the guy who's been breaking financial regulations for a couple of years. But the guy who's doing it 40 years, just let him off. Look, it's part of his routine. It's who he is. The system of unbelievable that you just let people off the longer you've been more successful. And I want to counter a point on this because I've started to hear this narrative in certain circles, and I don't know where this came up. I heard this argument twice in the last couple of weeks when about this particular argument. It's like, well, you see, the difference, John, is what you're forgetting is one thing. And I'm like, okay, what's that? It's the statute of limitations. You know, you can only be charged for a certain period of time. That's why we're more lax. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. And let me explain why it doesn't make sense in case you've come across this argument. It's a minor argument, but I have heard it a couple of times. The difference between the statute of limitations, why it is not applicable to illegal immigrants and why it is to other criminal charges. Let me give you an example. Let's say, and I'll be the guinea pig again. Let's say I am accused, keyword accused, of punching someone today. Well, the statute of limitations, depending on when you are, might be about 5 years. So that means in 5 years, I can no longer be charged for that crime. But I've only been accused of punching you on this day, today, once. I've been accused of assault. When you do illegal immigration, it's not one act. You've been breaking the law. You break the law every second of every minute of every hour of every day you were in that country because you are overstaying your visa. The statute of limitations should never run out. But the other thing that frustrates me so much is, and this is just purely down to your media and your politicians, I see the rallies of illegal immigration. They're becoming more and more blatant and more open. We're Americans, just not legally. And we're not going to be deported and you're not going to let us. Okay. Can you name one other criminal group that is as brazen as illegal immigration? As illegal immigrants? Like, seriously. Can you imagine if the mob, like, did a rally like that? We're the mob and we're not taking it anymore. You're not sending us to jail. Yes, we carry weapons illegally, and yes, we give protection to people, and yes, we sometimes beat people up, and yes, you know, some people have gone missing on our watch, but we're demanding our rights. You can't punish us. Can you imagine if that? But let me give you another example, you know, because people go, well, John, you're comparing the mob to illegal immigrants. That's not exactly fair. That's you're, you see, I told you you were racist. Okay, sorry. All right, I'll use another example. An example that might make my friends on the left head explode. I'm not paying my income tax this year. I need the money for myself. And we're sick and tired. We're taxed enough already. We're not paying because we want our money for ourselves. Can you imagine if there was a rally like that of people who didn't pay their income tax, who fought, who put it past in their IRS form and went, you know what? Sod off. And I'm using, that's the nicest term I think I can use on this program. Sod off. You can fill in a blank in this world of, you know, more stronger language if you wish. But can you imagine that? Can you imagine the response? Do you think there'd be a round table of people kind of going, well, there's all these people who didn't pay their to the IRS this year. They didn't pay their taxes. And, you know, well, what we need now is a Dreamer Act. You know, we need, you know, the non-paid taxpayers, you know, act. You know, we just need to give them amnesty. Can you imagine if that happened? Do you think the left and the right would be coming together kind of going, yeah, they didn't give us our taxes, but we're totally okay with it. It is so frustrating to watch, you know, talk about living in the shadows. You have immigrants now that don't live in the shadows. They're brazen about it. They're coming forward going, we want our rights. We demand our rights. I can't imagine any other country that would work in. I really can't. I don't know what other country that would work in. But lastly, let me leave you with this point for this. Because I want to come back to a word my friends on the left love to use all the time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull on your heartstrings. The word is fairness. You love talking about, well, what we need is fairness. And we need fairness for our illegal immigrants. And they did nothing wrong. And they just had the purest of intents. And you want to deport them. That's not fair. That's sad. And, you know, if I wasn't a one-man band, I might have some music playing. You know, some sad, you know, piano music. Some sad music in the background and tell you my sob story. But let's talk about fairness, shall we? And let me give you two examples of fairness. You want to give amnesty to someone who's broken the law and who's reaped the benefits of breaking that law for the longest time. They might have broken it for a year or 5 years or 10 years, but they have reaped the rewards for that 1, 5, 10, 20, 30 years. How is that fair in the workload? You know, you always talk about the one percenters. You know, they get all the rewards for doing no work. All they do is just come in. And then, you know, the person at the bottom who's working hard gets screwed. Okay. Well, let's turn your narrative around. Your illegal immigrants that you defend and that you want to give amnesty to and you want to protect because they're the dreamers, right? They're always good and noble people. All they did was come across a border illegally. All they did was overstay their visa and go, you know what, I can't be bothered to do that paperwork anymore. What about the legal immigrant? The legal immigrant who went and did things the right way. Who went through all the paperwork. Who didn't just cross your border, but went through all the paperwork, went through all the screenings, went through all the background checks. Had his background or their background checked like a fine tooth comb to see if there is any reason to stop them coming in. Paid for all the flights, did things the right way, got the job the right way. What about all the work that was involved, you know, for the visa overstays? Where people actually did things the right way initially and then actually went back to their country and continued to do things the right way each and every year. What about those people who, you know, did all the work and went back year after year after year and then decided, you know what? I love America. It's given me so much. And I've gone back and I've done things each and every right. I want to now be a citizen, which you can apply for after 5 years. In case you didn't know, you go through year visa, year visa, year visa, year visa. On the fifth year, you can apply to become a citizen. And then you have to go through even more checks to become a citizen. How is that fair? Explain how that is fair to me. How the legal immigrant who did all the hard work, who paid all those extra expenses, even just the flights alone to go back to their country each and every year, went through all the paperwork, paid all the lawyer fees, and you want to treat them the same as someone who just went, you know what, sod America, I'm just going to go illegally. Or I'm here now and I'm not leaving. How is that fair? That's story number one. Story number two isn't personal story like mine. How is it fair that someone can cross your border illegally or get into your country legally and then overstay their visa and they're somehow noble and good? And yet a story like mine, which there's plenty of, by the way, who do things the right way, who wait a long time. I waited 13 years for that opportunity. I waited 13 years to do the right thing for an opportunity to get to America. And I finally had someone in Glenn Beck go, you know what? I think that guy deserves an opportunity. Step up to the plate, give me a contract, paying some of his money to get me there. And then for the country to turn around and go, yeah, actually, you know what? You don't meet the criteria. You can't even apply. How is that fair? How is that noble? How is that right? You always want to talk about fairness, my liberal friends. How is that fair? But yeah, you never talk about people like me because there's over 5 million of us. There are 5 million people who want to do things the right way and get into America the right way. We never get even mentioned. And by the way, I know people love to focus in on the left. When was the last time you heard Ted Cruz talk about someone like me? When was the last time you heard Mike Lee talk about someone like me? When was the last time you heard Louis Gohmert speak about people like me? This is an issue on all sides, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. It's easy to say the left and the Democrats suck. But both sides are really bad on this issue. But let's talk about fairness. When was the last time you heard people talk about real fairness? When we come back, I'm going to give you the solutions. And I'm going to overcome some of the more minor objections that you hear on this issue. Because I want to give you as much ammunition as you can to overcome the issues of the day. But I'm also going to give you the solution. Thank you and hope you enjoyed this short clip from last week's show. If you want more content based around America being an exceptional idea, eternal principles, and searching for self-evident truths, then please subscribe to my show called Freedom's Disciple, which is available for free on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher.
This is Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on the Blaze Radio Network.